sending you back to us.
Amen.
Well, I'm glad to see that most of y'all returned to class. I got a card from one of our members. I say members, one of our people that come to class here, that since I didn't come last Sunday, they went and joined the JW, so. And I won't call no names, but he sits in the corner back there. But that was a good joke. I enjoyed that. And I appreciate y'all's prayers and your concerns and all this time that I've been going through. And I'm coming back around. I believe we're going to make it. They did take about half of my colon out and reattached the little intestine. They did send it off, and it came back negative. It has no cancer in it. So we can praise the Lord for that anyhow. That's something else I'd have had to deal with, and I wasn't dealing too good with what I already had. So I reckon the Lord figured we better not put no more on him, because he ain't having it. But I do appreciate your concerns and your prayers, and I appreciate you being in the class most of all. So anybody got anything you want to say? I know you have, but
we're waiting on appetite if you.
Okay, if y'all will, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to do something this morning that we've had before, but because of some teaching that's going around and different things that people believe about the Bible, and y'all know my point of view about the Bible. I believe God means what he says. And if something is not in a verse, I do not add anything to it. And if it's in there, I do not take it away from there. I strictly believe the verse as it is written in a 1611 King James Bible. So I want to talk to you about something we've had before, but I want to do it in a light of what the Bible says about it. So maybe we can understand, and maybe we can help some of our people that are saved yet have not come unto the knowledge of the truth. So y'all remember our last class, 2 Sundays ago, we were talking about what the Bible says and believing it means what it says as it says it, where it says it, more or less, and about the truth. And y'all remember where we went to in Psalm 145, verse 18. Y'all remember what it says? God is nigh unto all them that call upon him in truth. So each dispensation has a way to get to God. There's no dispensation in this Bible that does not have a way to get to God. God has provided a way for every person that's ever been in this world or ever will be in this world to get saved and then come unto the knowledge of the truth. And that's what we want to continue looking at this morning. So if you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us, sent your Son to die for us, and by putting our faith and trust in what he did at Calvary, we do have eternal life with thee. And we know, Lord, that you don't particularly care about our flesh. You know it's been crucified with Christ at Calvary. We are to count the flesh as but dung. We have asked you, Lord, this morning in this class that we give honor and glory to you, and that you, by the leadership of your Spirit, teach us the things we need to know. And Father, we thank you for all our spiritual blessings. We ask you, Lord, this morning to especially be with those that are sick. We ask you to comfort these people. Let them look to thee for guidance and understanding. And Father, we ask you this morning now to lead us by your Spirit. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. Well, you know in your Bible study that Paul did not become a prisoner for us Gentiles until Acts 22. When Paul told those leaders that he was going to go to the Gentiles that were not in the covenants of promise, Paul became a prisoner from then to the end of his life. Verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner, Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And what Paul is saying there, those in the book of Ephesians, those who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, God made one new man out of those two groups of people. Those that first trusted were in the covenants of promise. People such as us, when Israel became Lo-Ammi and I, are not in the covenants of promise, but we are in the same body with these people back here. You understand? There is one body. We're fixing to see this. Now, watch what he says. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity. Not make it, we're to keep it. My job is not to destroy this two different groups of people here. My job is to teach it the way God has it. And when Paul preached to these here, he told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that a dispensation had been committed unto him. When he preached to these over here that were not in the covenants of promise, he said a dispensation of the grace of God was committed unto him. So that dispensation ceased back here. Paul got saved in Acts chapter 9, and the Lord appeared unto him and gave him this dispensation for these here that were allied with Israel. They were in the covenants of promise, and they had a hope. These over here were not allied with Israel. They had no hope until Paul preached the mystery of the gospel that he received from the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts 18. And in Acts 22, when he told the people he was going to go to Gentiles such as us, he became a prisoner. Now, of these two groups, God made one new man, and my job is to keep that unity, not make it. To keep it. The unity is made. So if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, believing that when Christ died at Calvary, He paid for all of your sins. All your sins are not your problem. Unbelief is man's problem now. So what do we need to do? We need to show people how to be saved and then come unto the knowledge of the truth. Salvation is always first. You don't grow into salvation. You believe for salvation. Believe what? Believe what was committed to the Apostle Paul, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, there's one body, one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. How many Lord's are one. Go to hold your place here and go with to me with 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And the context starts in verse 8 here, but I'm not going to read all of that. Come down to verse 15. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I can say whom Percy Peters is chief, because I'm a sinner. I'm saved, but I'm still a sinner. If you don't think I am, follow me around and see. Get in my vehicle and ride with me someday. I got a bad habit, if I see you, and you may be in this class here, but if I see you run a red light, I'm going to blow my horn, I'm going to shake my finger at you. You know why? I'm on this road out here. My loved ones is on this road out here. My friends are on this road out here. And if you run a red light and run over one of my friends or my family, I'm going to be mad at you. So I will blow at you. And if you don't believe me, you can ask my two grandsons, because they ride with me and see me do it. And everywhere I go, it don't matter what day, time, or what hour of the night or the day, I see people running red lights. I'll be sitting there and they just right on time. And I don't want none of my friends hurt. You understand? So I let them know somebody saw what they did. Maybe they'll think the next time. Now, look what he says here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is a faithful saying, word of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause, he's talking about himself now, Paul, I obtained mercy. Well, did you obtain mercy? Y'all know what Ephesians chapter 4 says? I mean, chapter 2, verse 4 says? Do y'all know what Ephesians... Well, let's go back to chapter 2. Hold that and go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherever he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Does that sound like that you have first got to repent of your sins? No, beloved. Listen, when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, God knew you for the foundation of the world, and God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto him. God made Jesus Christ to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we, both groups, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, not in us. We're still a bunch of low-down sorry sinners looking for the Lord to come change our vile body. Now, go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which shall hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Well, is Paul the pattern?
Yeah.
Well, now listen to me. Jesus Christ can't be the pattern then, can he? Nor one of the 12. In other words, Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So were the 12. They were commanded not to go into the way of the Gentiles. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I heard Jack Van Ampe this morning, and I couldn't listen to him just a few minutes, talking about we are in the kingdom of heaven. We are not in the kingdom of heaven. You are not going to be in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven will be on this earth over here when Jesus Christ brings that kingdom down over here on this earth, and the center of it will be on Mount Zion, right where Mount Zion is. We're going to be above all heavens. You understand? Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, unto the King, you notice that's a capital K, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, when he rules over here with a rod of iron. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, do what? Invisible? Well, where do these people get these pictures from of the King hanging on their church walls and all?
Other people.
If he's invisible. My buddy was going to answer that question. Make no image in the likeness of anything. Heaven above, earth below, under the water, in the earth. Don't make no difference where it's at, and make no image to thyself. You know why? He's fixing to tell us right here in verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Do you know why he said that? Because Satan, back here, before Adam was ever born or created, created, Satan gossiped in heaven to God's angels, created beings. He said, I'm going to be like the Most High God. I'm going to set my throne above God. Well, he failed. He was cast out. He was the cherub that covered God's plan, if you'll let me use that term, a lack of knowledge how to explain to you. He's the cherub that covered it until iniquity
was found in him. He failed. But he is not the horned, red, forked tailed beast that the images of in man's mind with a pitchfork in his hands. He's created in beauty. If you'll study Ezekiel 28, every precious stone was his cover. Why do you think that Adam eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden back there? Eve seems to be headed toward Adam. I mean the devil. The devil's beautiful. All his precious stones was his cover. His pipes. Music. Pay attention to your music. Was in thee when he was creator, until iniquity was found in. So there's only one wise God. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul said there, God's many and Lord's many. But what does my Bible say to me? Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. There are seven ones in Ephesians chapter 4. Pay attention to the number 7 in the King James Bible. It is the number of completeness. Verse 4. There is one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. In other words, these two groups of people have one hope, one spirit, one calling. You understand? And if you'll study 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, they were called by Paul's gospel. No other gospel today will get you in the church, the body of Christ. Paul's gospel will. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith. Well, now listen, how many faiths did y'all pass to get in this morning? The Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Jehovah's Witness, Episcopalian, I mean, you name them. But how many faiths are there?
One.
Who is that faith? The Lord Jesus Christ. We stand on His faith, according to Romans chapter 3. We have faith in His blood, Romans 3:25. Believing that when He shed His blood at Calvary, God said, that is a satisfied sacrifice. I will accept the blood of my Son for these people's sins down here. I will forgive their sins. I will remember them no more. I will cast them as far as the east is from the west. Now, I don't know how far that is. Let me ask you a question. If you left here and started west, when would you get to the east? Would you? I mean, you just keep going west, wouldn't you? Until you fell off of the world. I used to think about the people that thought the world was square. And my uncle, an airplane pilot, mechanic, had a colored fellow that worked with him. He said, the earth is square. He said, why are you saying that? He said, because of Revelation, there's an angel that stands on the four corners of the earth. Well, you know you got an answer for that. Y'all know where the answer for that is? Isaiah chapter 40. It is He that setteth on the circle of the earth. The earth is round. You can't fall. And years ago in the funny books when I was a little kid, I used to read funny books and they'd show these ships sticking out the side of the earth that was square like this here. And them ships would be sticking out and people would be sticking out of them things like that, like they fixing to fall off. You can't fall off of this thing. It's round. And everything is pulled to the center of it. Are you listening?
Everything, listen to me, from Genesis to Revelation, everything pulls together because of Jesus Christ dying at Calvary for you. And without the death of Christ, you ain't got no hope.
Amen.
You understand? Then them people out there that don't even believe in God can be saved if they'll trust what Christ did at Calvary. Now, watch what he says here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, is there one baptism or three or four?
One.
Which one is it?
Spirit.
Now, wait a minute. Did John baptize?
Yes.
Tell you what, let's do. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Let's do it there. Take Matthew 3 and Mark 1. Matthew 3 and Mark chapter 1. Did Paul baptize?
Yes.
Said he did in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, in John chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the
wilderness.
What
I
say?
No,
no. And praise the Lord. You know, before surgery, I wasn't no good. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. Thank you. Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we're not looking for the kingdom of heaven. You know why? You ought to have a verse on top of your mind right now, on the tip of your tongue, where you're at right now. Colossians chapter 2, we're where? We're in the kingdom of his dear Son. The kingdom of his dear Son is above all heavens. Okay? Now, we're not looking for the kingdom of heaven to come. We're above all heavens. Now, verse 3. For this is he, John the Baptist, this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. You'll find this in Isaiah chapter 40. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him, to John, Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, verse 11, for time's sake, I indeed baptize you with what?
Water.
With water. Did John baptize with water? He sure did, unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The fire will be at the second advent over here. The water baptism that Jesus Christ baptized with was back here. You understand? Go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as is written in the prophets. And if you got a Bible that says prophet, you got the wrong book. Because there are two different prophecies here. One of them you just read out of Isaiah 40, verse 3. We read Matthew. The other one is in Malachi chapter 3. Two different prophets. Satan's book leaves the S off and makes both prophecy in one prophet. It won't work. Verse 3. Malachi, this is verse 3. I got to back up. Let's go to verse 1 again. Mark 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as is written in the prophets. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face. That's Malachi chapter 3. Which shall prepare the way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Isaiah 40. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness. Preached a baptism of repentance for remission of sins. What did John baptize with?
Water.
Water. Go to verse 8. I indeed have baptized you with water. Well, does water mean water? Or does it mean spirit? Water's watering. Spirit is spirit. Water ain't spirit. Let somebody tell you that.
John, verse 6. John was clothed when I followed God. Verse 8. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he, reference to Jesus Christ, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Go to Acts chapter 1. Go to Acts chapter 1. Now let's see something. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Was Jesus Christ teaching in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Well, you know that ought to tell you something right there. You know what that tells me? When Jesus Christ is teaching in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that is not New Testament. Do you know why? Because in the New Testament, which will be made at the second coming, they don't have teachers. So, John the Baptist was teaching, Jesus Christ was teaching, the 12 were teaching. So this is Old Testament scripture. Now, watch what he says here now. Verse 2, Jesus Christ is teaching until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom? The apostles. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Now watch what he says, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized by the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Thank you. By and with ain't the same thing, are they? Is Jesus Christ the baptizer? John said he would in Matthew 3. He said, I baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me, Jesus Christ, is preferred before me. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And he said, this is... Well, go back to verse... give me a minute. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, the apostles, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Hold your place and go to John 14. John chapter 14. Now we're talking about one baptism. Have you seen a spirit baptism yet? What kind of baptism have we been seeing?
Water.
All right, John 14, verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. He's talking to his apostles, beloved, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Go to chapter 15. Chapter 15. Verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you shall bear... Excuse me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Go to chapter 16. Verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. Now, Go to Acts chapter 1 again now. So that's what they heard from him while he was with them. Now he's been crucified, and he's spent 40 days and 40 nights with them after his resurrection, after his passion. You know, that's what they call this thing around Easter time, the Passion of Christ. They don't know what really went on there, most of the churches that cover that. Now verse 5, Acts 1 verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, they've asked him a question about some things. Now verse 8, but ye, the apostles, ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these words, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye up gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. In other words, he went up, the clouds received him out of their sight. He's coming back into the cloudy heaven, and from that point, he's going to send his angels down here, and they're going to gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and cast them into a lake of fire, as he trained them in Matthew chapter 13 back here. You can't miss the parable back there. Now, what are they doing here? Go to Acts chapter 2 now. Acts 2 verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it, the sound, filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire. It didn't say fire went on them. That's not no fire of baptism. That's cloven tongues like as fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Were they baptized with the Spirit? Who baptized them with the Spirit? Didn't Jesus Christ, didn't John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 said, I baptize with water, but he that cometh after me, Jesus Christ, he will baptize you with the Spirit. He did so. He told them to tarry in Jerusalem, Acts 1, 8, until you be endued with power from on high. They received the Holy Spirit to have power to give up their life, beloved. They know in the tribulation, Hebrews through Revelation, they got to die over here. And if they reject the Lord Jesus Christ over here, they have no eternal life. If they stay true to the Lord, they will die, but they will have eternal life. You understand? We don't have to die. We've already died spiritually in Christ. Romans chapter 6 verse 11 is very clear. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, I identify with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And I am spiritually baptized into his death. Romans chapter 6 ain't got a drop of water in it. It's spiritual death. Spiritual baptism. Now, were these people filled with the Holy Ghost? Were they baptized with water?
Yes.
Were they?
Yes.
Go, take two passages. I want you to take Acts 8 and Mark 16. Acts 8, Mark 16. Was Jesus Christ baptized with water?
Yes.
Well, now, wait a minute. Did he have to be baptized to get remission of sins? Do y'all know why he was baptized? To be identified to Israel. So Israel, that's where the terminology comes from in the churches that don't understand the difference between water and spirit.
say, well, you need to follow the Lord and believe with baptism. No, you don't. That's not for you. That was for Israel. That was for Israel. Ours is a spiritual body. In the body of Christ, there ain't no male and female, bond and free, Jew and Greek. We're all one in Christ. Keep the unity. If you bring water baptism into here, let me ask y'all a question. Well, let me put an example to you. My niece and her husband changed churches. My niece wanted to teach Sunday school class in this Baptist church. Well, they said, now you're going to have to be baptized by our preacher or you can't. Is water baptism a uniting substance, or is it a dividing substance? It divides. The Spirit unites the believer with the Lord. And you can't break that unity. Paul said, keep the unity and the spirit of peace. Keep it. Now watch what goes on here. Mark 16, verse 14. This is after his crucifixion. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, upbraided them with their unbelief and hardened his heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. As some of the ladies that was at the graveside first, they talked to the angels. They said, he's gone, but go over to Galilee and tell my disciples and my apostles, I'll meet them over at Galilee. And he told them, said, don't touch me yet, I have not ascended to my Father. And from that morning to that evening, he went to where God the Father is and back down here on the earth, and they held him by his feet and touched him. Felt the holes in his side and the holes in his hand. He had five holes in him. Now, verse 16. Wait a minute, I apologize. Verse 14. He said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, if you reckon in your mind, what baptism is he talking about right here? Water. Water. Y'all do know what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, where water doeth also now save us. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, Peter's preaching to those Jews. He ain't preaching to Gentiles. He's preaching to Jews. He said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Well, how could they save themselves? The answer's back there in Matthew chapter 3 that we didn't read purposely. You know what it was? He saw the scribes and Pharisees coming to his baptism. John did. He said, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? How did he know they were trying to flee from the wrath to come? Because they were coming and being submitting unto water baptism. Water baptism, not spirit. Water. Water. Water is water. Don't put spirit in there where it says water. I ain't mad at y'all. I'm mad at me because I'm not getting across to you what I'm trying to do here. Now, what God wants us to see. Now, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So, then after the Lord has spoken with them, he was received up into heaven, set on the right hand of God. And they, the apostles, went forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Did God confirm that word? Yeah. Those that were baptized?
Yes.
They were baptized with water. Okay? Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 2 baptized them with the Holy Spirit. He sent down the Holy Spirit and he baptized the apostles with the Holy Spirit. You listening? Go to Acts chapter 8. Now just believe your Bible. Acts chapter 8. Philip has been told by the Holy Spirit to join himself unto a eunuch. The eunuch is reading out of the book of Isaiah. Philip goes over there to the chair and joins himself to him, and he said, "Understandeth what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man teach me?" Now, come over to verse 30. Philip ran hither to him, heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he said, the eunuch, "How can I, the eunuch, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. Now the scripture is Isaiah 53. You'll find this written in Isaiah 53. Verse 36. "And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water." Did they come up upon some water?
Yep.
They sure did, didn't they? "And the eunuch said, 'See, here is spirit.'" "Here is water." I followed. "Here is water. And what doeth hinder me to be baptized?" Now you reckon. Just think for yourself. Don't let somebody else do your thinking for you. Think for yourself. Here they come up at, let's say, a river here, and it's got water in it. And the eunuch asked Philip, said, "Here's water, what doeth hinder me to be baptized?" Now you reckon what he's going to baptize him with? You reckon he's going to get some dirt and throw on him? Well, other thing you've got to do is think for yourself. Just believe the verse means what it says. It's water. Water is always water. I go to that water cooler back yonder and get a drink of water. I don't get a drink of spirit. I get a drink of water. You understand? A lot of people don't. Now, verse 37. "And Philip saith, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.'" Mayest what?
Be baptized.
That's the question. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? "Philip saith, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into what? The water. Both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized me. Now, why in the name of all this decent would I want to tell you that that's spiritual baptism? When it's water. They went, listen, if he was going to baptize him with the Spirit, he could have done so in the chair.
Amen.
He wouldn't have to stop the chair and say, "Now here's some water, let's go down there and get that water so I can baptize you with the Spirit." No, he baptized him with water. Now the next verse is what throws some people. Verse 39. "And when they were come up out of the water." Well, you reckon what they did while they were down in that water? You reckon they had a bar soap until the bath? Any of y'all ever been baptized beside me in water? Did you take a bar soap with you? No, I thought I was following the Lord and believing about them. I didn't know any better. You see, salvation's first. Knowledge of the truth is next. Now watch what throws some people. Verse 39.
And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Why was he rejoicing?
He had got water baptized, beloved.
People that get water baptized, man, I got baptized last week. Well, why are you still smoking today? God didn't take away your cigarettes from you. He never took mine away until I got tired of them. I got to look into that little old thing. I said, you ain't going to rule my dad blame life. And I throwed them away. I got more power than that little old stick. And I used to chew Levi Gecko. Still have a urge for me. I used to chew Levi Garrett, and I would not leave my house. You listen to me. I would not leave my house unless I had two brand new packs of Levi Garrett on my person. And I left. I love that. But you're talking about one more nasty head spitting. Well, that's different. Did the eunuch get baptized with water?
Yes.
Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 right fast like. Now, I want to ask you a question. Did Paul baptize?
Yes.
You reckon Paul was baptized with the Spirit? Where would Philip have got his authority to baptize with the Spirit? Who did John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 say, I baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me, who is mightier than me, and shoes I'm not worthy to loosen, he shall baptize you with the Spirit?
Amen.
Who did Paul baptize? Now you listen to me real close now. Did Paul baptize with the Spirit? Who baptized you with the Spirit? Come on, talk to me. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Who baptized you with the Spirit? Sir?
The Spirit.
You sure about that?
Holy Ghost baptized us.
I ain't never been baptized with the Spirit. You see, you let that little old word fool you right there.
Filled with the Spirit.
How are we baptized?
By the Spirit.
By the Spirit. Do you believe that Paul baptized those in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that you fixing to read with the Spirit? Reckon what he baptized them with?
Water,
beloved. Water. Now, was the Spirit there in Acts chapter 8 with Philip? Yes, he was. But who did the baptizing? Philip did. What did he baptize with?
Water.
Don't put Spirit where water is. And don't put water where Spirit is. Are we baptized by the Spirit?
Yep.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, look what Paul says here, verse 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Hold the fort. Got a problem. If Paul baptized some people with the Spirit, why would he say, I thank God I didn't baptize none of you? Now, that would be a dumb statement, wouldn't it? So it's evident, if you will study diligently, it's evidently evident that water baptism has nothing to do with this here. If it were important, Paul would say, I'm so sorry I didn't baptize some more of you people while I was with you. No, he said, I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, and besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Why? Christ sent me not to baptize. How many baptisms are there here?
one in his spiritual baptism. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Listen, I've got a bad habit of just believing words mean what they say. And until God tells me different, I'm not going to add nothing to a verse that ain't there. And I'm not going to try to teach you some kind of doctrine that I can't prove by this Bible. You understand? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one, you see the word by, not with. For by one Spirit, capital S, did we not read in Ephesians chapter 4, one Spirit? So that one Spirit baptizes the believer with the Spirit? By the Spirit. You see, we didn't need, you listen to me, we did not need to be baptized with the Spirit. You know why? We read it three times, John 14, John 15, John 16. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. What do we need today? We need a teacher. We need a teacher that will teach the truth of the Word of God rightly divided. We need a teacher that will endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And it don't make no difference to me if you get mad at me or not. That's not my problem. If you get mad at me because I teach the truth to you, then maybe you need to pray about it and see if I'm right or the Scripture is wrong or whatever is wrong. And then we'll talk about it. But don't come tell me that water is Spirit. You understand? Water is water. Now, watch what it says. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Did we not read one body back there in Ephesians chapter 4? Right. One body. All groups of people in Romans to Philemon are in one body. We have one hope. Mm-hmm. Don't we? How are we saved? By one gospel. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile. Will be bond to free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. Come to verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. How did you become into the body of Christ? By the Spirit or with the Spirit?
By the Spirit.
See, I can't baptize you with the Spirit. And ain't no mumbling soul on the earth has the power to baptize with the Spirit. That was God's gift to Jesus Christ, to the 12 apostles. You know why they had to have the Spirit here? To endure to the end over here. End of the tribulation. They didn't know anything about Romans to Philemon. They figured the next agenda was that the Antichrist would be revealed. Then they would go into the tribulation and they'd be offered the mark of the beast. And if they took the mark of the beast, they would die. Spiritually. If they took the mark of the beast, they could live physically. But when they died, they couldn't go into the kingdom. So if they resisted the mark of the beast here, they'd get the head cut off. So they were given power to become the sons of God. Do you know how they become the sons of God? In resurrection. Born again, if you please. Born again, John chapter 3. Born again. So we are not water baptized saints. And you don't know a water baptized saint today. Water baptism won't do anything but get you wet. That's all it'll do for you. I've about run out of breath this morning. I'm feeling the little old knees are trying to wiggle on me, so I'm going to close about 5 minutes early today. So I appreciate y'all being here, and I appreciate and still ask you for your prayers, not for my physical self, but for my spiritual thing that we get these things straight in our mind. And I do exactly what God would have us to do, and I know what God's will is today, that God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Appreciate you being here and look forward to seeing you next Sunday.